I read yesterday about a gentleman who had a near-death experience. It was one of those things that you read about in Christian journals or perhaps in magazines, Christian television channels, where he had died, at least he thought that he had died, and he saw visions of heaven. And when he went to heaven, he had an encounter with President George Herbert Walker Bush. And immediately some of you begin to squirm. That's a political person. He can't talk about political people in church. Well, that's a part of this vision. And President Bush, how are you? And he said, well, it's interesting. The other day I ran into Moses. And I walked up to Moses. I wanted to have a conversation with him. But when Moses saw me, he turned and ran the other way. It's like I didn't know if I had offended him in some way. And the next day I saw President Bush, and again I walked up to him, and he looked at me and he screamed. Or whether I saw Moses, I'm getting this all mixed up. The next day, President Bush saw Moses again. He approached him, and Moses again ran away screaming. Well, President Bush didn't understand what was wrong, so he followed Moses, and when he caught up to him, he said, Moses, I'm sorry, did I offend you in some way? And he said, the last time I talked to a bush, I spent 40 years in the desert. All right. Last week, we read from Exodus 12, which was the account of the Lord's Supper, or the Lord's Passover. Right? After the death of the firstborn male from each family in Egypt, we're going to catch ourselves up to where the reading is for this morning. Pharaoh called Moses and his brother Aaron into his presence in the middle of the night, and he said, up, leave my people, you and the Israelites, go worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said, and go. And also, bless me. Well, that's a curious statement. When word of Pharaoh's order spread, the Egyptian people, living in fear and dread of God and the Israelites, they begged them to leave them immediately, even giving them the treasure of Egypt, personal belongings, gold, silver, and jewels. After spending 430 years in Egypt, the people of God began their journey back to their ancestral home, the land of their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land in which God had made an eternal covenant with their forefathers. At chapter 12, verse 42, we read, because the Lord kept vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt, on this night all the Israelites are to keep vigil to honor the Lord for generations to come. That is, the Passover meal and the Passover celebration are given to the people as a perpetual event. Among the most holy of all days for Jewish people, faithful Jewish people to this very day celebrate and observe the Passover meal and remember God freeing their people from slavery in Egypt. In chapter 13, we read that God did not bring the people out of Egypt to Canaan by the shortest route. That would be following along the Mediterranean Sea. Rather, he brought them south along another route, which would bring them deep into the Sinai Peninsula, to the mountain of God, where in chapter 3 of Exodus, God had told Moses to bring the people there to worship him. And it is here that we also read that Moses took the bones of Joseph. Right? From the final 13 chapters in Genesis are about the Joseph narrative. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear an oath when he died, saying, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. And thus, a 400-year-old promise was fulfilled. And chapter 13 closes with the words, after leaving Sukkot, the Israelites camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. And that catches us up to today's reading from Exodus chapter 14. And this is a lengthy reading this morning about the parting of the sea, and Matt is going to read with me this morning. So hear now God's word. You can find this in your bulletin or in the pew Bible before you. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. They are to camp by the sea directly opposite Baal-Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." So the Israelites did this.
When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready, and he took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all of the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi-Hahaloth, opposite Baal Zephon.
Say it like you mean it, right?
Yeah, right.
As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still."
Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the waters so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen."
Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left.
The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and the cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of the chariots so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt."
Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived.
But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses his servant. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So the first 13 chapters of Exodus, we find the record, and as we find the account of how the Lord came to his people during their time of distress. The next five chapters in Exodus record how the Lord went with his people on their pilgrimage out of Egypt. The key part of the first 18 chapters may be found in chapter 3, verse 8, when Moses encounters the burning bush, and the Lord says to him simply, "I have come down. I have come down." We see this lived out through the 10 plagues that God inflicts upon the Egyptian people, and in the Lord going before the people in a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. You know, the account of the people of God crossing the Red Sea is one of the great epic stories that we read in the Bible. We even read about it this morning in Sunday school in Psalm 136 in the Psalm of Great Thanksgiving. Indeed, this story has stirred the imagination of modern screenwriters and authors in a multitude of different mediums. In 1956, Cecil B. DeMille directed the epic movie, The Ten Commandments, starring Charlton Heston as Moses, Yul Brynner as Pharaoh, and Anne Baxter as Nefertiti. It is considered one of Hollywood's all-time great films. Of course, DreamWorks' 1998 musical, which was animated, called The Prince of Egypt, is another wonderful film. Starring the voice talents of megastars Val Kilmer, Ralph Fiennes, Michelle Pfeiffer, Sandra Bullock, Jeff Goldblum, Danny Glover, Patrick Stewart, Steve Martin, and Martin Short. If you have not seen this movie, it's a cartoon, but if you have not seen The Prince of Egypt, I strongly encourage you to watch it. The music that was written for it, tell the story, the faith of the church. Another film, the 2014 Ridley Scott-directed Exodus, Gods and Kings, starring Christian Bale, Joel Edgerton, and Sigourney Weaver, is the most recent adaptation of this story. It is not as biblically faithful as the other two that I mentioned, but it's fascinating to watch as a secular lens of the story looking in. As our reading for today began, the Lord tells Moses to move the people of Israel back to Pi Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. Now, it doesn't take a trained military tactician to know that this is a terrible idea, at least through human perspective. What God was doing was placing the people of Israel with their backs against water and the army of Pharaoh coming at them. There is no escape route. And also, Migdol means tower. And it is probable that Migdol was one of the border defenses on the frontier of the Egyptian Empire. At this point in the Exodus saga, Pharaoh and his circle of advisors, as Matt shared with the kiddos, have realized that releasing the Israelite people to their freedom was a terrible idea. Right? Everything they went through with the 10 plagues is short-sighted. They've already forgot about it. Letting the people go was a bad idea. Who would finish the monuments that they were building? Who was going to complete their cities? Who was going to harvest their grain? Who was going to do their work they didn't want to do at a price that they didn't want to pay? The Egyptians were the elite military force of the ancient world. There was no army stronger than that of Pharaoh. And he musters his forces, his finest line of chariots, cavalry, and infantry, and they moved toward the Israelites in a very rapid fashion, who were moving at a snail's pace due to their number and the age of many of their people. Oftentimes, we look at the ancient ways of fighting and think how simple it was. But if you lived in the ancient world, the chariot was the tank. It was the most feared weapon that you could encounter.